This is exciting news. The way out of the pandemic is vaccines, and the light at the end of the tunnel grows brighter every day.
On what has been a long and winding road, the path forward is now a little clearer. The plan to have every Ontario adult eligible for a COVID vaccine within a month. Good evening. The province's new timeline is ambitious.
And it hinges on a hefty boost in supply, allowing for a robust rollout. By the week of May 24th, the government hopes to allow anyone 18 and over to book their appointment. But for those living in hotspot postal codes, it's even more aggressive. Registration can start on May 3rd, and that's next Monday. And over the next few weeks, the age range will gradually lower.
And a significant portion of the doses will go directly to areas at higher risk. We begin our coverage with CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello. Colin.
Well, Michelle, the province says tonight's news does come with one major caveat. Just because you're eligible for your vaccine doesn't mean you're going to be able to get your vaccine immediately. Still, if you've been wondering, when is it going to be your turn? Tonight, you finally have the answer.
For the first time since the beginning of Ontario's vaccination campaign, the province is offering every adult a dose of hope. The province says by the end of May, anyone aged 18 and above can book their vaccine appointment.
Make the booking as soon as you can because we want to make sure that as many people as possible are protected.
Beginning on Monday, May 3rd, people aged 50 plus can sign up. On the week of May 10th, 40 plus. On the week of May 17th, 30 plus. And finally, after the May 2-4 long weekend, all Ontario adults can sign up. Hotspot communities are getting a boost of vaccines as well to help relieve the pressure of the third wave. 50% of Ontario's vaccine supply will go to 114 hotspot postal codes between May 3rd and the 17th. That's 870,000 doses for where it's needed most.
The belief is that by doing it for 2 weeks very aggressively, we can actually really beat down the positivity rates within those communities and ultimately help all of Ontario get back to normal.
But vaccines alone aren't going to halt the spread of COVID-19. In fact, public health officials say after declining case counts, the numbers are once again on the rise this week.
That means we could easily be over 4,000 tomorrow. So that means our plateau has edged up back again.
The province's scientific advisors are calling for sustained public health measures, the closure of additional workplaces, and effective sick pay to get us out of the third wave. Today, politicians at Queen's Park answered that call, passing a new piece of legislation. Workers in this province will now have access to 3 days of paid emergency leave that can be claimed, the government says, for a variety of reasons.
If they're sick, if they need to go and get vaccinated, if they need to recover from vaccinations, if you're a worker out there suffering from mental health challenges related to COVID-19, you will be covered under our plan.
The province's scientific advisor suggested 3 days is not enough.
So we've modeled the strong effective sick pay as beginning immediately, lasting for essentially 2 work weeks, so 10 days. And being at a level that allows people to not have to make difficult choices.
While opposition parties supported it, they didn't entirely agree with it.
At a time when the Premier has just taken 10 paid days off to appropriately quarantine, as the experts advise us to do, why do they think that workers don't deserve the same thing?
Saying the Premier's entitlements should be available to the entire province.
And a couple of notes from the Ontario Science Advisory Table. They are recommending that 50% of the vaccine should be going to the postal codes, the hotspot neighborhoods, for a minimum of 4 weeks. The province is sending 50% to those hotspots for 2 weeks. Also, the Science Advisory Table was asked today if Ontario can expect the best case scenario with the current public health measures in place. The short answer, no. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. There is a lot to unpack from today's announcement, and our online team is staying on top of it all. Our digital coverage continues at ctvnewstoronto.ca/vaccines, including a full timeline of when Ontarians can book their vaccines.
Across the province, more than 120,000 vaccine doses were administered yesterday. That moves Ontario's total above the 5 million mark since the start of the rollout. And more than 368,000 people in this province are now considered fully vaccinated.
As Colin mentioned, this new strategy puts a big emphasis on virus hotspots.
We've seen long lines outside of vaccine sites. The demand is obvious. So will this approach make things simpler? CTV's Mike Walker is live in Scarborough with more. Mike.
Well, Zoraida, Michelle, anyone 18 to 44 living in one of these hotspot neighborhoods will soon have the opportunity to schedule an appointment on the province's booking system starting next Monday, instead of having to line up at these pop-up clinics with no guarantee they will get the shot.
It's a scene that has played out at pop-up clinics in hotspot neighborhoods all week. Many waiting hours at this pop-up clinic in Scarborough today for a chance to get the COVID-19 vaccine, only to be turned away due to a limited supply.
Not very happy, for sure. I'm the right on to my turn, and then no more tickets.
Because I was hopeful, man, my brother came to get it, and then we just got disappointed. It was like shattering.
Lining up at pop-up clinics where it's first come, first served, the only option for people under 45 living in hotspots, but that is about to change. Starting next week, residents who are 18 and older living in one of 114 hotspots will be able to book appointments through the province's booking system.
Because we want to make sure that as many people as possible are protected.
Welcome news to many residents who took a day off work to line up today with no guarantee and leaving without the shot.
We don't have to wait a long line for just to get a vaccine, you know? So it's much faster and easier and safer too.
It was a little confusing at first, you know, to find where the pop-up clinics are. And I guess just having the free time to come.
Currently, the age threshold in hotspots to book appointments on the province's portal is 45 and up.
You really never want that many people standing around just in case of transmission issues. So having the no more long lines is always a great thing to see.
What impact it has on the long lines at pop-up clinics remains to be seen, but experts say lowering the age threshold to 18 plus could be a game changer.
The advantage is obviously knowing when your turn will be. It comes down to this peace of mind and having it potentially done in a very safe and orderly way.
The only hope is that booking online will be problem-free.
So once again, this takes effect on May 3rd. Officials with the City of Toronto say they are ready to expand their mass immunization clinics once vaccine availability permits them to do so. Reporting live in Scarborough, I'm Mike Walker. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, Mike. Looking at the wider virus picture, Ontario is seeing an increase in new cases compared to the previous couple of days. Public Health Ontario is logging 3,871 new cases in its most recent update, and nearly 460,000 cases have been diagnosed over the course of the pandemic. 41 more deaths are linked to the virus, pushing the province over 8,000 to 8,029. And more than 413,000 cases are now considered resolved.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 1,172 new cases in the City of Toronto, with 901 in Peel Region. York Region has 392 new cases, with 292 in Durham and 129 in Halton. There are 104 new cases in Niagara Region and 103 in Hamilton.
And in hard-hit Peel, finding a vaccine pop-up site has been a tough task despite a surge in COVID cases.
At least two mosques are set to host clinics, but there are calls for much stronger support. CTV's John Musselman is live in Mississauga tonight with more. John.
And Michelle, that call is coming from the mayor and the medical officer of health, because the positivity rate in Peel is the highest in the province. Politicians and health officials say Peel Region is a unique area employing thousands of essential workers. Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie says it's time for the province to classify the entire region as an official hot zone. She also wants the province to allow the local medical officer of health to lower the age of eligibility for the vaccine.
We need the province to give the medical officers of health the ability to assess the situation and make the call as they see fit when to lower the age cohorts.
We are still the hardest hit community in Ontario. We know that Peel is seeing higher case rates and percent positivities, sometimes almost double what is being seen at other hotspots designated in the province.
We know many people in Peel don't have the luxury of working from home because they are essential workers. We have to pour vaccines into these areas.
Currently, only people 60 and older or people 45 and up listed in hotspot postal codes can book a vaccine through the provincial website. Meanwhile, CTV News has also learned that officials with the Greater Toronto Airport Authority, the airlines, and the unions are calling on the province to designate Pearson Airport as an official hot zone.
By giving Pearson workers access to vaccinations, we can actually keep them safe. We can also start thinking about increasing flows of passenger traffic and traffic through the airport. And we need to keep that traffic flowing, especially for cargo traffic.
A letter has been sent to the Minister of Health, Christine Elliott, and Peel's Medical Officer of Health. It states Pearson, quote, should be identified as a hotspot postal code now, and vaccine eligibility criteria should be updated to include workers in hotspot postal codes, meaning airport and airline employees would be eligible for the same vaccinations as their Peel Region and City of Toronto neighbors in hotspot postal codes. And tomorrow here at the Islamic Community Center in Mississauga, the first of two pop-up clinics will be held in this region. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, John. Just ahead, a new stretch of highway with one noticeable thing missing. Many traffic. Why this extension of the 427 is still off limits to drivers.
Next, more evidence of the weight this pandemic is placing on our province's health system.
Hospitals already on the brink as virus patients fill facilities. Across Ontario, 2,248 people are receiving hospital treatment as they battle COVID-19 infections. 884 are listed in intensive care, and 620 of those people are currently on ventilators. Meanwhile, the supply of oxygen appears to be an issue in at least one GTA hospital.
What's being called a small number of patients moved from Michael Guerin today. CTV Scott Lightfoot has the details.
At a hospital already stretched to capacity.
Today was a peak for us in terms of the oxygen demand.
Concerns over the supply of oxygen. Officials at Michael Guerin Hospital say early this morning they identified potential risks to their oxygen supply.
I think as folks know, COVID-19 has a higher oxygen demand. And early in wave one last spring, we added additional oxygen capacity at the hospital. Part of that work was to put some early warning signs so that if we were starting to reach capacity, we would know that. And we saw that happen overnight.
The hospital says as a precaution, 10 patients were transferred to other hospitals in the city and 7 surgeries were postponed.
We have brought on additional oxygen supply to make sure that we could to take care of everyone. We never did actually get to a point where anyone was without oxygen by any means, so our patients were not at risk. We really wanted to be proactive today to make sure that we could manage that supply and know that other patient demands may come in from the community.
Officials also say some ambulances were diverted to other hospitals in an attempt to preserve supply. Oxygen supply has been a major issue in India, where COVID cases continue to climb. But officials say it is rarely an issue here.
I think we've got good supply overall in Toronto, and that with the additional capacity we were able to bring on, I think we should be okay. We won't see those situations as we're seeing in India. I'm encouraged by the science table's guidance today that we're seeing a crest overall in COVID-19 volumes. And I think if we stay on the same track, we should be in good shape.
Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
And our online team is tracking this story along with all the latest developments in Ontario's response to the pandemic. You can find that coverage at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
We got a fair share of rain today and the unsettled conditions will persist. Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at what's happening out there. Lindsay.
Well, it's still raining right now, Michelle. We've had a soaking rain through the afternoon after a drizzly and foggy start to the day today. I'll step aside just so you can see how widespread this is. It's drier north of Barrie and Orillia, but this low pressure system, it is going to continue to be with us through the majority of the evening. The winds tonight, they're pretty calm, but we're already tapping into a northwesterly flow, and that is keeping us a little bit cooler than normal today. Double-digit temperatures in most locations. We're looking at a seasonal overnight low of 6 here in Toronto, but colder air is on the way and some strong winds for tomorrow, too. All of those details are coming up. For now, Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Several lanes of highway sitting unused and off limits.
A stretch of the 427 extension seemingly ready to go. So why aren't drivers allowed on the road yet? CTV's John Woodward is live in Vaughan. And John, this is the focus of a legal battle.
Zoraida, yes, there's not a car in sight up here in the 427, unusual for Toronto. And it turns out the person who may decide whether these cars are allowed to come on this stretch of highway could be an Ontario Superior Court judge.
It's an open road, no cars, what should be a driver's paradise. But this open road is closed. The reason? A bitter dispute between the provincial government, which commissioned the Highway 427 extension for $616 million back in 2015, and the private contractor that was building it. The Link 427 General Partnership says this highway is finished, and it deserves to get paid a lump sum of almost $145 million. It says in court documents the government wants it to repave the road and do other work that's not required in the initial contract at costs that would drive it to the precipice of default, saying this case is about the government abusing its power to force the applicant to make costly last-minute upgrades to a major highway project without compensation. For its part, the Ministry of Transportation told CTV News the highway wasn't built to specifications, adding, the province will continue to work to resolve this dispute fairly and as soon as possible and is working to open the highway to the public this summer. Much of this work is in Vaughan, where city officials are surprised to hear about the controversy.
I've noticed, you know, that the thing is coming right along. The on and off ramps seem ready. They just, you know, have to take down some a couple of the movable barriers because it certainly looks ready to go.
Looks ready, but when will cars be allowed to drive on it?
And asking around here, there's a surprising amount of ambivalence about this road. It may reduce congestion temporarily, but there's always going to be more cars. They're just going to end up on other jammed highways, and it costs hundreds of millions of dollars. All of those among reasons many local councils decided to vote against a provincial planned highway, the 413. Reporting live in Vaughan, I'm John Woodward. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, John. Just ahead, the defense minister says the military has failed victims of sexual assault. The appointment of a former Supreme Court justice to lead an independent review into sexual misconduct.
Dozens of shots fired in the middle of the afternoon. The barrage of bullets injuring a man and a woman.
More than 24 hours later, they remain in hospital as we learn more about the public gunfight on the streets of Ajax. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live near Kingston and Harwood with more. Beth.
Most of the gunfire that happened yesterday afternoon happened at the intersection all the way back there behind me. At one point, a man in a white vehicle got out, and the car then somehow made its way on its own to this spot right here by this restaurant.
What happened?
That's the squeaking sound of windshield wipers just moments after the bullet-riddled white car was caught on surveillance video, rolling down the road driverless. Seen here crawling along as traffic passes by.
I'm not too sure how fast it was going, but it seemed like it all happened very quickly. We just noticed the car sort of diverting across the traffic. We were like, oh my goodness, and then it went right into the tree.
The crash, the end point of a terrifying shooting in one of the busiest parts of town. More than 40 shots fired, the majority of them at the intersection of Kingston Road and Harwood Avenue. Durham Regional Police believe someone in a dark sedan and someone in the white car shot at each other, leaving a 24-year-old woman and a 26-year-old man from the white car with serious injuries. One woman who works in the area told me she saw a man come from this intersection, make his way into this area of the gas station, and saw him running around bleeding. A few minutes later, she says, police arrived. Down the road where the white car stopped, one witness says he saw a woman being put on a stretcher. Police are not saying if the shooting was gang-related.
Well, we know that this is not a random act, and we're still trying to determine exactly why it happened.
Some who saw the car rolling were confused.
Now, is this person okay? Is this a medical emergency? Did they just lose control of the car? The very last thing on my mind was gunshots.
A shooting police are relieved more people weren't caught up in. Police say a third vehicle not involved in the incident was damaged. Police say the dark sedan, it took off. They're now asking people for dash cam video to come forward to help police. Reporting live in Ajax, I'm Beth McDonnell. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Hamilton police are investigating the city's latest homicide. A 38-year-old man was shot just before 10:30 p.m. in a downtown alleyway between Birch and Gibson Avenues. The victim was rushed to hospital but died of his injuries. Police haven't released any details on any potential suspects.
A warning, the next story includes footage viewers might find disturbing. A Barrie police officer is facing assault charges after a violent arrest was caught on camera in February.
What are you doing, man?
An officer can be seen struggling on the ground with a 20-year-old and appears to hit him with what looks like a stun gun. Barrie's police chief asked the OPP to conduct an independent investigation. That is now complete, and 46-year-old Constable Jason Stamp has been charged with assault and assault with a weapon. Stamp is an 18-year member of the service. He's been suspended with pay and is scheduled to appear in court in June.
A driver is facing criminal charges after allegedly hitting a City of Toronto traffic agent with his car earlier this week. Police say it happened on Monday on York Street near the lakeshore. The driver allegedly disobeyed the traffic agent's directions and is now accused of then driving his car into the agent multiple times. The agent wasn't seriously hurt. 19-year-old Zachary Verpollen of Amaranth is charged with assault with a weapon, assault peace officer, and dangerous operation of a conveyance. He has a court date in June.
On a day the opposition accused it of a cover-up, the Trudeau government has announced a review of sexual misconduct in the military.
It comes nearly 3 months after allegations were leveled against the former head of the armed forces. CTV's Kevin Gallagher reports.
Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan admits the government and the military have failed victims of sexual misconduct.
Our goal is to make sure that we have a system that survivors can trust.
Sajjan says a reporting system outside of the chain of command is needed because victims fear reprisals. Today, he appointed former Supreme Court Justice Louise Arbour to lead an independent review.
What we are hoping that we can work with Madam Arbour to develop is an understanding of why that culture persists. How it is allowed to persist.
But in 2015, another Supreme Court Justice, Marie Deschamps, denounced the rampant sexual harassment, abuse, and toxic culture facing women in the Canadian Forces. Her report recommended a similar independent reporting system for complaints. Today, Sajjan apologized for not getting it done.
We regret that we did not have a system in place that supports them. But we are absolutely committed to doing this.
The announcement comes after months of investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct against several high-ranking military officials, including former top general Jonathan Vance.
Unfortunately, it's taken 6 years and for this issue to become a political scandal for the Government of Canada to respond.
The military is also promising to increase support for victims now and appointed Lieutenant General Jenny Carignan to start reforming a damaged institution. Louise Arbour's report could take more than a year to complete, but Sajjan says there will be interim recommendations that the government can implement before then. Kevin Gallagher, CTV News, Ottawa.
We lost six of Canada's finest 1 year ago today. This is the first anniversary of the crash that killed the crew of an armed forces helicopter off the coast of Greece.
No one's truly gone as long as they are remembered. And across the Canadian Armed Forces, we remember those who came before us and those who made the supreme sacrifice in everything we do.
A granite monument was unveiled today at CFB Shearwater in Nova Scotia. It is 4 feet tall, the height meant to evoke the fourth month of the year when the tragedy occurred. There were no survivors when the Stalker 22 went down in the Ionian Sea. It was the largest single-day loss of life for the military in more than a decade. The accident remains under investigation. The monument was unveiled at 1:52 p.m., the time the crash happened.
SpaceX has successfully deployed its latest batch of Starlink satellites into orbit. Video released by the company shows the first of 60 satellites separating from the Falcon 9 rocket's second stage and drifting away. It happened about an hour after liftoff from Florida's Cape Canaveral, just before midnight. It was the company's 12th launch of the year. SpaceX has deployed numerous satellites for its Starlink internet system. It's allowed to launch as many as 30,000 satellites with an option for more.
The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are celebrating their 10th wedding anniversary by sharing a new family video. William and Kate are seen enjoying a day out with their three children, Prince George, Princess Charlotte, and Prince Louis. Today, the couple thanked everyone for the kind messages and said they are enormously grateful for the decade of support they've received as a family. Will and Kate married at Westminster Abbey on April 29, 2011. They met and fell in love while attending the university in St. Andrews, Scotland.
And William's grandmother is featured on the largest coin ever produced by Britain's Royal Mint. This giant weighs more than 10 kilograms and took more than 400 hours to complete. It is the final piece of a commemorative series inspired by 10 stone statues that line the Queen's journey to Westminster Abbey during her coronation. The coin has a denomination of £10,000, it's about $17,000, and it's already been sold to an unnamed buyer for an undisclosed price, thought to be six figures.
Coming up, could there be new treatment for adults living with a rare neuromuscular disorder? The research around a new drug for spinal muscular atrophy.
I'm Pat Four, and coming up on Consumer Alert, with more people staying at home during the pandemic, appliances are getting a lot more use. If you have a fridge or washing machine breakdown, be careful who you hire to fix it. Some say even after they've paid for repairs, their appliances still don't work. We investigate. That story is just ahead.
Rain will continue through this evening before tapering off from west to east overnight. By the time all is said and done, some areas will have picked up upwards of 10 millimeters of rain. Others will have seen closer to about 5 millimeters. We say goodbye to one area of low pressure. There's another that's going to potentially bring some wet snow to parts of Ontario. We'll talk about where coming up. But regardless, there is colder air on the way for tomorrow. The winds are going to strengthen. And by Saturday morning, our temperature in the GTA could be close to freezing. A special weather statement has just been issued. We'll show you what that looks like and talk about your weekend forecast coming up. CTV News will be back in 2 minutes. When it comes to appliances, some people feel they just don't make them like they used to. And when they do break down, they can be expensive to fix.
When a machine needs a repair, you might be in a hurry to have a service person come in and fix it. But you may want to do some research first. Pat Foran tells us why on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Michelle Anzarata here at CTV News. We have had many complaints this year about the high cost of fixing appliances. And some people say even after they've paid for repairs, their appliances still don't work.
When I did an internet search, the first one that comes up is the A-Team.
When Robert Dworak and Sharon Morrison of Brampton had their washing machine break down, they did a Google search and the first company to pop up was A-Team Appliance Repair. They said they could come right away to diagnose the problem for $80. In the end, the couple says they paid $1,400 for repairs over multiple visits and their washing machine still didn't work.
It said, you know, can you fix this? And he told me that he couldn't.
They say after complaining, they were refunded $800.
They said within about 15 minutes that I needed a new compressor, which was $2,600. It's a lot of money. You could buy a new freezer for that.
Sandy Stotnicki of Toronto called the same company when her fridge broke down. After initially agreeing to repair, she canceled within hours, and another company fixed the fridge for $300. But she still had to pay almost $800 for the visit and restocking fees.
I'm mad. That's why how I feel.
My fridge and my ice maker still do not work properly.
Isaac Chen of Markham says he paid $1,100 for repairs, and his fridge still leaks and his ice maker doesn't work. He was refunded $100.
I'm really angry. You know, and it's wasted so much of my time and energy.
We have 156 consumer reviews on this company. 154 of them are negative. They have an F rating.
The Better Business Bureau has an alert for this company, which also goes by Appliance Repair Team, Inc., saying there is a pattern in the complaints. They're unable to properly diagnose and repair appliances effectively, and the cost of parts are grossly inflated.
The onus is on the consumer to do a little bit of research before they purchase from anyone, and especially if you're going to have a service done in your home.
CTV News reached out to A-Team Appliance Repair, and the company said it is unfortunate these files were not successfully completed in the repairs, but they were either closed on our end in a mutual way with the customers, or multiple attempts were made to resolve the customer files. If you need to have an appliance repaired, check with the BBB and read reviews on multiple websites to see what other customers have to say. And if you have an appliance breakdown, you can check with the brand's website to see if they recommend repair companies in your area. Also, if the cost of a repair is more than half the cost of a new appliance, you may want to see if it's worth replacing it instead. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, it's a wet commute home for folks out there on the highways. It always slows things down a bit.
Yeah, on the bright side, everything out there is looking really green. Yes, lawns and gardens are very happy with this weather. Everyone else, I'm not so sure. And then tomorrow's forecast doesn't bring a whole lot as far as improvement. It will be drier, but it's also going to be cool, and it's going to be windy. Weather is brought to you by Train. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it's hard to stop a train. A big picture look at the satellite and radar gives you an idea of just how widespread this system is. And Environment Canada has now issued a special weather statement, not for the rain specifically, but more so what's coming tomorrow. The rain is going to taper off, but the winds are going to strengthen. They will be coming out of the north, and they could be gusting to about 80 kilometers per hour. Big picture look at that system. It is on its way out, but we will continue to see wet weather for the next couple of hours. Here's tonight at a glance. Our overnight is going to be drier. Cloud cover sticks around, just a 30% chance of showers once we move past midnight. 6 degrees is a fairly seasonal overnight low. And then it's Friday night into Saturday that things will get really chilly. Tomorrow's daytime high, 7 degrees for us here in Toronto. You might only make it to about 2 if you're joining us from Orillia. Again, a drier day around the GTA, but here's the thing. We've got a 30% chance of showers, and because it's going to be cool and it's going to be windy, it's possible that a couple of wet snowflakes could mix in there too. This gives us a little sneak peek as to some of the peak wind gusts that we can expect by tomorrow afternoon. Again, upwards of 60 kilometers per hour, maybe gusting to about 80K. I'll pause this around midnight just to show you that there will be some clearing happening in extreme southwest Ontario and the West GTA. That continues to happen through the overnight hours. There's the blues. So around southern Georgian Bay, the Nickel Belt region, and into Muskoka, it's possible that a little bit of wet snow is going to fall, maybe 2 to 4 centimeters of it around North Bay. We should escape this in Toronto, but again, the chance is there. Saturday morning, we wake up to some sunshine. Then the cloud cover rolls in, and by late in the day, we're looking at a chance of a shower. Saturday overall is the better looking day right now to get outside. It's also when we welcome May. Then we're into another unsettled pattern. Sunday, wet weather in the forecast. Rain for Monday. Temperatures are going to be a little closer to seasonal as we make our way through the middle part of next week, and looks like some brighter skies as we make our way toward Wednesday and Thursday. That's your look at the weather for now. Zoraida, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. And still to come, a rare look under the streets of Toronto, a unique perspective of one of the city's biggest infrastructure projects.
We've heard a lot about spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA, recently, notably the struggles for families requiring extremely expensive treatment for young children.
But the illness also affects adults, and now Health Canada is approving a new drug. CTV's Pauline Chan reports.
For Ben Born Flossman, drumming is both musical enjoyment and maintaining fine motor skills. He was born with SMA.
The doctors were pretty sure that I wouldn't live past, first of all, I believe it was the age of 2, and then it ended up being the age of 5. And then sort of they say after you live past the age of 5, there's no real mortality risk other than sickness.
He gets painful spinal injections in hospital every 4 months to slow the progression of his disease. He takes vitamins and stays as physically active as he can.
I try to do things as much as possible and sort of adapt activities.
SMA affects 1 in every 6,000 babies, and the severity depends on the number of SMN2 genes they carry.
The less amount of copies, the more severe the disease. And unfortunately, 63% of the patients diagnosed have the most severe form of the disease.
The good news is that a new drug called Risdiplam, or Evrysdi, has just been approved by Health Canada. It helps the body make more of a needed protein, and it's the first treatment for SMA that can be taken at home, either orally or by feeding tube. But Risdiplam still has 2 key stages of approval before patients across Canada, like Susie Vanderwick's daughter, can get provincial funding for the drug. Still, it is a step forward, one that Ben hopes will allow him to get the drug in time to begin university in Ottawa this fall.
It's very difficult to live without hope. And for a time, for months, we had no hope. Now we're full of hope.
Pauline Chan, CTV News.
It's always best to ask a medical professional before a major change to your diet, but a new study is highlighting a health benefit of intermittent fasting. Researchers at Baylor College compared rats with regular diets to rats who fasted every other day. They found that the fasting rats had lower blood pressure. For the first time, they were also able to link that finding to changes in the rat's gut bacteria. The scientists say the discovery could lead to new treatments for hypertension in a clinical setting.
The Shaw Festival is pushing back the start of its 2021 season from May to July 6th, but representatives say things are looking up. Executive Director Tim Jennings said in a statement, "The recent increase in vaccination rates, coupled with all of our continued adherence to public health guidelines, will hopefully result in a rapid decline in case numbers over the summer months. We continue to remain optimistic that our American patrons will also be allowed to join us at the Shaw and in Niagara-on-the-Lake before the end of the summer."
John Mayer is best known for his music, but the singer could soon be heading to late-night television. Variety reports that Mayer is nearing a deal with Viacom-CBS to host a weekly streaming talk show. It would be called Later with John Mayer. Sources said the series, if it happens, would feature performances and interviews with musicians, artists, and other cultural figures. Viacom-CBS and Mayer didn't comment on the story.
Billie Eilish is out with the first single from her upcoming album. It combines her quiet style of singing with some very direct lyrics.
How dare you? And how could you?
In Your Power, Eilish sings about a toxic relationship that many fans speculate was her own. She says it's about power imbalances we've all either witnessed or experienced. The singer also directed the music video. Her full album, Happier Than Ever, is out in July.
The nominations are out for this year's Billboard Music Awards, and several Canadians are among the top finalists. The Weeknd is leading the pack with 16 nominations, including Top Artist and Top Male Artist. He's up in several categories against fellow Torontonian Drake. Justin Bieber is nominated for Top Song Sales and Top R&B Artist. The Billboard Music Awards take place in May.
And rock band Genesis has become one of the first groups to announce a major arena tour this fall across North America. Genesis has scheduled its last, well, it's called the Last Domino Tour, for a November 15th start in Chicago. It's the band's first outing since 2007, although it is impossible to predict what COVID restrictions will look like at the time. They are booked to play Scotiabank Arena on November 25th.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
CTV Tonight. Sit back and relax. We've got another awesome lineup ready to go. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
Eating healthy doesn't have to be a sacrifice. Tomorrow, food entrepreneur Valerie Azinge will show us how to make delicious dinners that are low in carbs and take only 30 minutes. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
Beginning next week, Ontarians will begin receiving a more predictable and increased supply of vaccines from the federal government. This will allow the province and our partners to further accelerate our vaccine rollout.
Updating our top stories, the province says every adult will be eligible to book a vaccination appointment by May 24th. However, experts say cases will still rise unless people continue to follow public health guidelines.
We need the province to allow Peel and in fact all public health units to be nimble and to be flexible to get the vaccine out to our residents.
Mississauga's mayor wants all of Peel Region declared a COVID-19 hot zone. It's part of an effort to get vaccines to vulnerable populations more quickly.
I think, as folks know, COVID-19 has a higher oxygen demand, and early in wave one last spring, we added additional oxygen capacity at the hospital. Part of that work was to put some early warning signs so that if we were starting to reach capacity, we would know that.
A shortage of oxygen at Michael Garron Hospital led to the transfer of 10 patients to other local hospitals, as well as 7 surgeries being postponed.
And don't forget to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos or video of breaking news, let us know. Well, there's no lack of news coming from Queen's Park this evening.
Vaccines and variants generating plenty of debate. And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined now by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Reshmi Nair. Nick, you are going to be digging deeper into the latest batch of modeling, and there's a lot to unpack.
There is indeed, and you're right, there are no slow news days, it seems, right now. And certainly with the cases cresting, it doesn't mean we're in the clear based on today's modeling projections. So we'll be talking with some epidemiologists, bioethicists, about what these new numbers mean today and where the province is going in the race against vaccines, vaccinations, and the variants, of course. And we'll also be talking about ICUs, because, of course, the ICUs were highlighted today about the strain on the system. We have a panel of doctors to talk about the modeling projections there, too.
Okay, and Reshmi, you'll be hearing from Bonnie Crombie tonight as she calls for all of Peel to be labeled a hotspot.
Yes, and looking at those modeling numbers, Zoraida, she might have a case here. We're going to bring our Peel panel back to CP24 tonight. Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Brampton's Mayor Patrick Brown, and Peel's Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Lawrence Lowe, all joining us live to have that discussion. So stay with us for that.
Okay, Reshmi and Nick, thank you. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar gained a quarter of a cent to 81.46 cents U.S. American benchmark oil was up, $1.15 a barrel to close at 65.01. And the TSX Composite Index lost 101 points to close at 19,256.
The owners of Air Transat have reached a financial aid deal with Ottawa, securing a $700 million loan. Nearly half of the funds will be used to reimburse customers whose flights were canceled because of the pandemic. Transat says those payments will begin immediately. The rest will go towards keeping the company in business while travel levels remain low. Transat has paused flights until mid-June. Its shares ended the day up by nearly 6%.
The CEO of Airbnb says he expects more Canadians will be open to the idea of traveling after they're vaccinated. The home rental company has seen an increase in business south of the border as more Americans get their shots. CEO Brian Chesky says the rebound in Canada has been slower, but is still likely to come. Of course, travel restrictions remain in place in several provinces, including Ontario. Airbnb has also reported an increase in searches for rural properties as demand shifts away from big city rentals.
We're getting a new look at the construction happening underground at Eglinton Station as crews continue to work on the Crosstown LRT. For several years, work has been underway in the area, but Metrolinx is now sharing this drone footage of the inside of the station. And it's big. Officials say the new station, this section at least, comes in at 269 meters in length and a depth equal to the height of a six-story building. As things stand, the opening of the Eglinton Crosstown is set for next year.
After the break, the new initiative helping to keep older Canadians connected. The details in Toronto Together.
Tonight, the rising cost of living in COVID times.
It's catching up to us as consumers.
From lumber to groceries, what's fueling the pandemic price hikes? We'll have that more later on CTV National News. Join us.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight, and you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
Get top stories, exclusive content, and must-see videos at ctvnewstoronto.ca. Coming up on CP24 tonight, vaccine expansion. As Ontario's rollout ramps up, when can you get your shot? And newest numbers, is Ontario flattening the COVID curve? A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Now to Toronto Together, where Best Buy and SE Health are using technology to support older Canadians.
Best Buy donated Google devices to 15 long-term care and assisted living facilities to help keep residents connected.
What's been really lovely about these devices and having them in individual rooms is that when we have residents on isolation for 14 days, you know, this gives them something else that they're not getting because they're not coming out of their rooms. They're not, you know, going, let's say, to church services or something that they normally would do in their regular routine. So this just helps with that isolation, that isolated feeling, and just giving them that connectivity and support and comfort.
Volunteers set up the devices, including access to YouTube Premium, Netflix, and Geek Squad memberships. Those involved in this initiative say the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
I think the six-week pilot program in the five LTC homes in the Ontario Health Central region has really revealed very promising results and outcomes for applying technology in those settings, whether it's in a pandemic or beyond. I think it generally allows residents in those facilities a way to be entertained, to be in touch with their family. I would love to see governments really step up and double down on the use of technologies and LTCs to make those facilities a lot more enjoyable to stay in.
SE Health says older adults are often left out of conversations about technology. They say access is important to help them stay connected.
One last look at the forecast. Brought my rain boots today.
We'll be needing a lot of that.
Yeah. Great idea. You need them this evening. Maybe less so into the day tomorrow. But right now we do have some pretty steady rain falling around places like Dundas over toward Ancaster and Hamilton, as well as Brampton, Mississauga and Etobicoke. But you can see a widespread area still dealing with wet weather in general. This is the special weather statement that has been issued for tomorrow. Warning of winds that could gust up to about 80 kilometers per hour. And those winds will be coming out of the north and northwest. So that's going to cool us down, especially as we make our way into early Saturday morning. It's possible that our temperature could be close to freezing. But Saturday afternoon, we see an improvement. Daytime high 11 degrees, some sun in the morning, chance of showers late day. Sunday looks unsettled and some steadier rain once again as we make our way into the day on Monday. That's your weather. Zoraida and Michelle, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. And be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night. We'll see you at 11:30.